than they are in being made to think. They're more interested in being made to celebrate than they are in being made to change. They are more interested in what pleases the crowd than they are in what pleases the Christ. They want entertainment. They don't want empowerment. And I wanted before I went back home, I wanted to come to state my case. I wanted to inform you of where I am on all of this. I love the Church of Christ. And I declare there is nothing wrong with the Church of Christ as Christ designed it. There is nothing wrong with the Church of Christ as the Bible describes it. Right. Now, there might be something wrong with the Church of Christ as we sometimes display it. Help me, Lord Jesus. This message, as we unpack the passage to uncover the principle, I want to show you why I love the Church of Christ. There are three truths threaded into the tapestry of the text. They form the substance of the sermon. They offer us the homiletical hinges on which this message swings. I love the Church of Christ because of the identity of its founder. I love the Church of Christ because of the stability of its foundation. And I love the Church of Christ because of the certainty of its future. I love the Church of Christ first because of the identity of its founder. Every religious group in the world was started by somebody. The irrefutable and incontrovertible fact is that only the Church of Christ can rightly claim to have Christ as its founder. Jesus Christ, the best the world has ever seen, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, comes to this area heavily dominated and populated with paganism. Caesarea Philippi was an area crowned with temples erected to false gods. There were 15 temples there that stood in opulent beauty and marbled majesty, dedicated to heathenism. Jesus takes his disciples to Gentile territory. The region of Caesarea Philippi. They're about 120 miles from Jerusalem in the northern part of Palestine. The region was so strongly identified with various religions. It had been a center of Baal worship. The Greek god Pan had shrines there, and Herod the Great had built a temple there to honor the supposed deity of Augustus Caesar. In an area totally immersed and tragically engrossed in idolatry, Jesus makes a promise on which hangs all of our hopes. He says, "Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus questions the disciples as to who people considered him to be, and the responses were wrong. Jesus turns to his disciples and asks, "Okay, who do you believe me to be?" Peter, which he did often, and sometimes to his regret, Peter steps up and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And upon that great confession, Jesus promises to build his church. Jesus declared, "I will build it. I do not trust this endeavor to anybody else. I will build it. I am the architect and I am the contractor. I will build it. I will not let out the contract. I'm going to do it myself." To our guests and friends, don't get mad at me tonight. God is too good. Judgment is too sure. An eternity is too long for me to come here tonight and tell you less than the truth. Every church in town has someone as its founder. But only the Church of Christ was built by Jesus Christ. I do not mean any harm tonight, but I think I ought to tell you there's a church in town that was founded by Jesus Christ. But it's not the Catholic Church, because history informs us Boniface III is given credit with that. There's a church in town that was founded by Jesus Christ, but it's not the Baptist Church, because history informs us that John Smyth is credited with that. There is a church in town that was founded by Jesus Christ, but it is not the Jehovah's Witness, because Charles Russell has been credited with that. What I'm trying to tell you is that there are groups assembling together Sunday after Sunday, but they do not have Christ as their founder. And everything that starts with man ends with man. The Church of Jesus Christ has Christ as its founder. Christ, the head of the church. Christ, the savior of the body. Christ, the firstborn from the dead. Christ, the bridegroom at the final marriage. Christ, our shelter in the time of a storm. Christ, our anchor out on life's stormy seas. Christ, our bridge over troubled water. Our joy bringer, our hope restorer, our load lifter, our grace giver, our soul savior. Christ is the founder of the Church of Christ. Now, that means that the church is sovereignly constructed. Notice that Jesus does not say, "You will build my church." And notice that Jesus does not say, "I will build your church." I wish some of your kin people in Memphis knew that. He does not say, "I'm going to build your church." He says, "I'm going to build my church." Amen. I say that because there's some people in Memphis, not y'all, because y'all are going to heaven, but your kin people in Memphis walk around like God, they're doing God a favor. To be a member of the church. And sometimes, you know, when I'm not prayed up, I tell them, "Die. I double dare you to die. And see if the church don't roll on without you." The church was the church before you got here. Yes, and it's going to be the Church of Christ long after you're gone. Yes, am I right about it?
Yes, sir.
Am I right or am I right? I am right. This is here in the text, the first occurrence of this important word in the New Testament, ecclesia. It is the word that gives us our English word ecclesiastical. And of course, it refers to things which pertains to the church. As mentioned, the literal meaning is called out assembly, and is used some 114 times in the New Testament. And the word ecclesia was not new to the disciples. This word was applied to the popular assembly of Greek citizens that helped to govern or rule a city or a district. Also, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that's called the Septuagint, translates ecclesia to describe the congregation of the Israelites. It just means a called out body of people. So you can't just say church, because every assembly that assembles is called out from the masses.
Right.
So you have to identify who the assembly belongs to. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
That's why we're not just the church. That's why we are the church, the called out assembly that belongs to Christ. Jesus spoke about my church. In contrast to the assemblies that were meeting in honor of false deities without his authorization, Christ is the founder of the church. Christ is is the head of the church. Christ is the Savior of the body. I had to be sick on my way to the hospital before I finally realized the church didn't belong to me. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Not y'all, because y'all going to heaven, but I preached in Rochester, New York, and y'all got some kin people up there too. And I'm telling you something, you don't have to be accountable to get fed up with people. You just missing what I just said. And I was so stressed and so pressured, not knowing how to process negative emotions. I was sick because I thought the church was mine and that I was personal. Listen, I'm not personally responsible for the church. If I go crazy, Christ gonna take care of his church. If I have what my mama used to call a conniption, I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds bad. If I have a conniption, Christ is going to take care of his church. He bought it. He built it. He blesses it. Christ is the founder of the church. I love the Church of Christ tonight. And I love the Church of Christ because of the identity of his founder. I love the Church of Christ tonight because of the stability of its foundation. Some people, like our Catholic friends, assert that the church is built on Simon Peter, which is absurd. I'm sorry, but it is. Do you know Peter? Peter is kin people. He acts just like us. And I wouldn't want no church built on you. You didn't hear what I just said. And I sure don't want the church to be built on somebody who act just like you. Okay, you don't understand what I'm... The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation of the church. What's clear in the original language is Jesus is making a play on words when he says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the Greek word translated Peter is Petros. And the Greek word for rock is Petra. And what Jesus literally says is, Peter, you are a piece of the rock. You are a pebble. You are a stone. Right. What Jesus is really doing is calling Peter to mature behavior. Because if you know anything about Peter, he wasn't a rock up to this point. Right. And sometimes Peter would go back and forth. An interesting study about the life of Peter is how he's referred to in the Gospel of John. See, when Jesus met Peter, he was Simon. And then Jesus names him Peter. Simon is who he used to be. Peter is who he's meant to be. But most often in John's gospel, he's not called Simon and he's not called Peter. He's called Simon Peter. He got, just like us, he got a little bit of both. Come on, help me somebody. Peter is not the foundation of the church. In fact, a few verses after he makes this statement, thou art the Christ, Jesus announces his intentions to go to Jerusalem to be sacrificed, and Peter gets in the Lord's face. And Jesus has to say to Peter, get you behind me, Satan. You want the church to be built on Peter? Somebody ought to help me up in here. No, sir. No, sir. I want something stable and solid and secure, and that is Christ, the sure foundation that never shakes. More than 1,500 years, the Roman Catholic Church has maintained that this passage teaches that the church was built on the person of Peter, who became what they claim is the first pope and bishop of Rome, from whom the whole Catholic papacy has descended. That's just false. I can't say that any better. That's just, it's just false.
Right.
Amen. The church is not built on Peter. The church is built on Christ.
Amen.
Peter was up sometimes and down sometimes. He was right sometimes and wrong sometimes. You catch Peter, he'll cuss you. And if you really catch him, he'll cut you. Somebody ought to help me up in here. They came in the garden and Peter got his blade. You know, Peter ain't the only member of the Church of Christ who got a blade. Somebody ought to help me up in here. I know Peter cut off Malchus' ear, but he wasn't aiming for the man's ear. The man must have ducked. Somebody ought to help. You don't aim for nobody's ear. He was trying to cut that man's head off. But the Lord is so good. The Lord is so good so that Peter wouldn't be arrested. The Lord put the man's ear back on and destroyed the evidence. Somebody ought to help me up in here. I think I ought to tell you that anything starts with man, ends with man. You want to be a member tonight of a church that has deathless durability.
Yes, sir.
Jesus says the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Christ is the foundation of the church. The truth that Peter proclaims, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, on that fundamental fact rests the called out assembly of God. You have to, if you have a faulty foundation, your walls won't stand against the storm.
That's right.
And I think I'm going to tell you, you have a faulty foundation if you have obeyed the doctrines and commandments of men.
Right.
You have a faulty foundation if you have obeyed denominational dogma. You have a faulty foundation if you have obeyed ecclesiastical edicts. You have a faulty foundation if you give it into speculation over revelation into the whims of men over the word of God. I'm glad to be a member of the Church of Christ because I know the church has as its foundation Jesus Christ. And then finally, because I've been preaching here all week, and you already know when I say finally, I don't necessarily mean immediately. Somebody ought to help me here. You have to say that sometimes, because sometimes you say finally, people close their Bible. Don't close them yet. Finally. I love the Church of Christ because of the certainty of its future. I tell you what, the Church of Christ is the only institution in the world that really has a future beyond this lowland of sin and sorrow. Now, there are many noble institutions in the world, but they really don't have a future. They're all locked in by the limitations of time. Great institutions of higher learning, no future. Large institutions of wealth and business and commerce, no future. There are even religious institutions in the world that I wish had no past and no present, but I know they don't have any future. The only institution in the world that really has a future is the Church of Jesus Christ. The very name she bears guarantees her future. For she bears the name, the only name, that provides hope for the hopeless. She bears the name, the only name, that defeats demons and sustains us in our struggles. She bears the only name that lifts us up when our heads are all bowed down under the burden of sin. A name that fills heaven with his glory. A name that fills earth with his mercy. A name that fills heaven with his fury. The name is Jesus. Oh, how sweet that name, Jesus. An anthem in two syllables, Jesus. an oratorial in one word. Jesus, oh, how I love that name. That saving name, that sustaining name, that strengthening name. She bears the name of Jesus. I know the church has a great future because Jesus Christ declared, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now listen, when Jesus is talking about gates, gates are not offensive weapons, they're defensive weapons. He's talking about the domain of the dead, Hades. And what he's talking about is his resurrection. He is talking about the fact they're gonna kill me, I'm gonna die, but I'm not gonna stay dead. I'm going to break loose through the gates of Hades. And my resurrection guarantees your future. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I'm glad tonight that Christ got up from the grave. I'm glad he died. I know it was an awful death, but I'm glad he died because he canceled my debt. I'm glad he died because he provided me means of salvation. I could get hooked up with heaven because he died. But I'm glad tonight that he didn't stay dead. Amen. That early one Sunday morning, as the sun pulls back the blanket of darkness off the sleeping landscape, early one Sunday morning, the strong Son of God shakes himself. And that grave that held Adam began to tremble. And that grave that held Abraham began to tremble. And that grave that the music of David could not charm began to tremble.
Yes, sir.
And the strong Son of God breaks loose from the grip of the grave, stepped forward into the morning light, and made some announcements. He declared, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. I'd like to remind my brethren, in Memphis, y'all don't have this problem again because, you know, this is God's country, but your kin people in Memphis, I have to remind them, we ought to quit fighting over power that's non-existent.
Amen.
Somebody ought to help me here, because if the Lord said he had it all, what we fighting over?
Amen.
You didn't hear what I just said.
Amen.
The church is the only institution in the world that really has a future. Jesus says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is to come a day when God is going to step down into the basement of the universe and unplug the grandfather clock call times. There is to come a day when the old preachers were right when they said, time that has been shall be no more. There is to come a day when we'll cease this walk of life, drop this robe of flesh, and rise to seize an everlasting prize. I plan to be there. Yes, I do. I plan to be somewhere listening for my name. I hope your name is called. But I don't mind telling you, I hope it's called after mine. Somebody ought to help me up in here. I wish I had a praying crowd. Yeah. I'm glad to be a member of the Church of Christ, because one of these old days, God's gonna call us home. I heard him when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
You don't see it. Well, when I was a child, Selma, you remember when the families got together, all of the adults got to sit at the big table. Oh, y'all not feeling me. Now see, the reason why that was significant, because at the big table, that's where the food was. Y'all ain't helping me. The kids had to sit at the card table. Come on, help me, somebody. Am I talking to anybody in here? Over here someplace. And if you wanted something, you had to get up and walk. Come on, help me, somebody. Now you're embarrassed because they're looking at you funny. And I I can remember as a child at the card table saying, I can't hardly wait till I get grown so I can hire me some table room. Well, that's what God is promising me. God promises me table room up in glory. The church of Christ has a great future. That's why Paul says, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know what you're going through, but my God, stay with the church of Christ. I said, stay with the church of Christ. Yes, listen to me. There's some people in the church who are crazy. I was looking to see if there were two or three of y'all in here tonight. But let me tell you something. You stay with the church. Listen, I'm like Noah. I might fall down in the ark, but I ain't gonna fall out. You didn't hear what I just said. If you fall down in the ark, all you gotta do is get up. If you fall out, baby, you're going to drown. You didn't hear what I just said. The church of Christ has a great future. Just stay with the Lord. Stay with the word. Stay with the church. I love the church of Christ because of its founder, because of its foundation, and because of its future. John searched the secret documents of eternity, and he proclaimed to us, he once saw a great number, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and tongues. He said they were coming from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And somebody asked, who are these? And from whence come they? And the answer came back resoundingly, these are they, which have come about a great tribulation. And I washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. I plan to be there. I plan to be in that number. Somewhere around that rainbow circle throne. I plan to bow my head beneath the nail-pierced feet of the one who hung on Calvary's cross. I don't have any regard for streets of gold. I don't care what the streets are made of. I don't care nothing about gates of pearls, and I don't care nothing about the walls of jasper. If you want to walk the streets of gold, go ahead. If you want to go around by the gates of pearl, have fun. Amen. If you want to bathe your feet in the crystal blue waters of the river of life, go ahead. I ain't doing none of that. I got one thing on my agenda. Just as soon as my feet strike Zion, I'm going to find my place before that rainbow circle throne. And forever and ever, I'm going to bow down at his nail-pierced feet and thank him for saving me, for blessing me, for making a way for me forever. I used to say for 10,000 times, 10,000 years. And I figured out that ain't long enough. Now I'll say from eternity times infinity, I'm going to thank him forever. Forever. The church of Christ has a great future. Thank you, son. You're going to go a long way in this world. The church of Christ has a great future. And I'm glad tonight to be a member of it. You know, you talk to some people, that bid you good evening. You talk to some people, you ask them, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? And they say, I hope so. I say it to you tonight, hope so ain't good enough. Mom and them, y'all know Mom and them? Mom and them used to say, you got to know that you know. Well, if you're a faithful and fruitful member of the Church of Christ, you can have blessed assurance. I love that old deodorant commercial, Sure. I love it that they used to say, when you got Sure, you can raise your hand. If you're sure. What I tell you tonight, there's some things that you ought not be guessing about. You ought to know that you know. I'm sure. That no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm sure. That my God shall supply all my needs. I'm sure that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. I can raise my hand because I'm sure that in my sixth trouble, he'll be with me. I'm sure that in my seventh, he won't forsake me. I'm sure that he'll beat back the powers of hell. I'm sure he'll hear me when I call. I'm sure he'll lift me when I fall. I'm sure he'll take me through it all. I can raise my head because I'm sure. Cannot be sure if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Baby, it ain't about how you feel. I just knows I'm saved. No, baby, that ain't how it's done. No. It's not your feelings, it's the facts. Have you obeyed the facts of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Oh, tonight, you ought to become a member of the greatest institution in the world. You know, you only have two things you get to keep. Your soul and the word of God. And that word of God will place you in the only institution that will last when time at last falls exhausted at the gate of eternity.
Amen.
Tonight, don't make me beg you to do what you know you ought to do. Come on, say yes to Jesus, who said yes to the cross. By faith in Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sins, by confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, by being baptized